Hi, everybody. This is Pastor Chuck Allen, and I want to thank you for joining me on another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. Today, I want to talk about sticks and stones. Do you remember that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? And you usually said that last part with a little bit of a bite, you know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And you know what? More stupid words have never been said in the history of mankind. I guarantee they hurt. Time and again, the scriptures address the tongue. James, in chapter 3, devotes an entire chapter to controlling the tongue. And when we consider what Jesus had to say about it in Matthew's gospel, we see why the tongue is given such treatment. How we handle the tongue is a great indicator of our hearts. Aesop shares a pretty helpful fable to illustrate this point, I believe. You know, our words give us away. In James chapter 3, in those 18 verses, we see that the tongue has great power, that it is by nature hypocritical, and that it can only be transformed from above, that we can't. You know, we have to recognize the power of our tongue. Most folks want to be heard. What better way to be heard as a believer than to be a teacher of the gospel, right? But James urges us to consider the power of the tongue in our entirety. We have to not be hasty in propelling ourselves into a position where the tongue is constantly used. It is powerful, and as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. You see, when we have our tongue controlled, our personhood is controlled. When you control the tongue, the person is controlled. James argues from greater to lesser in verse 2, if one can control their tongue, then they will be able to control the rest of the body as well. We know that in verse 3. We see it illustrated by the horse, like a bit in verse 3. We see it like a ship and a rudder in verse 4. Big things come from a tiny tongue. It's illustrated by a wildfire in verse 5. You see, words can build or words can destroy. Better than anything else, the tongue displays the state of our heart. If you imagine your heart as a well, and you imagine that you dip the bucket down in the well, whatever's in that well is coming up, and the tongue is going to prove what's in our heart. Find me somebody who is involved in a great deal of gossip and slander, and I'll show you somebody that is in their heart at even a deeper level. Show me somebody who can't say good things about anybody, and I'll find you somebody that is truly anger is controlling them. And if it's not anger that's controlling them, it's insecurity of some type. You see, humanity alone cannot control our tongue. It just can't be done, because we must know the hypocrisy of our tongue. The powerful tongue can be used for great good or great evil. Apart from redemption, it will only tear down and destroy. Maybe better than anything else, the tongue reveals the already, but not yet, of Christian sanctification, of the work of God within us. The tongue can worship, the tongue can curse. And that hypocrisy should not be the case in our lives. James is not saying that we are unbelievers because of hypocrisy. Note that he says in the scripture, my brothers. He's saying that he's speaking to one another, that we're both followers of Christ. He's saying that the duplicity of it is inconsistent with a life that's been redeemed by Christ, because our heart should be changed. When our heart is changed, then what comes out of our mouth is changed. Believers ought to be growing more consistent in their speech. You know, worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Truly, it shows itself in bitter envy and selfish ambition, and that is accompanied by bragging and a denial of truth. It leads to disorder of every kind of evil. I don't know anybody likes to hang out with somebody that's a braggart all the time. I also know that we don't enjoy folks who tear folks down all the time unless we're one of those folks. Godly wisdom comes from above, and it's not that type that's our default in our humanity. But when we let Christ reign in our heart, when we let him begin that process of sanctification and working from us inside, and our heart begins to change, then our words come from the wisdom, not in our own power, but from godly wisdom, characterized by all that is pure and peaceful, always leading to peace. Those voices that lead us to peace are those voices we need to follow. And this type of wisdom only comes from God's redeeming grace. Aesop was correct. Our speech and the type of wisdom that governs our lives displays the state of our heart. What does your tongue reveal about your heart? Are you increasingly maturing in your speech, or do you find your tongue a restless evil that you can't control? Aesop's solution was to control your tongue. James has taught us that apart from Christ, that type of exhortation is impossible. Redeemed speech and wisdom only come from the work of the Redeemer. So let's cast ourselves on the mercy of the Redeemer and pray that he will continue his work of overthrowing those vicious, mean-spirited words that occasionally flow from our mouths. You know what, friend? I want to encourage you, let your tongue be controlled from above so that every word might be headed in the direction of peace, a peace that cannot be fathomed in our humanity. Thanks so much, folks, for joining us on another Sugar Hill Church weekday podcast. I hope that you'll join us this Sunday at Sugar Hill Church at 9:30 or 11. We also have Sugar Hill Espanol, our Spanish-speaking service, at 11 as well. We stream live on our Facebook page and at live.sugarhill.church. God bless you. Hope to see you then. Bye now.